I'm not the caliber teacher that Brother Jim, Brother George, or anybody else is in this room, I assume, but the Lord sure has been good to me. And I didn't deserve any of it. But when I start reading the scriptures and I start thinking about how good he's been to me, I just can't help but smile. Even sometimes when things don't look so good around us, if we're faithful to him and we will remember what he said and we focus on what he said more than what we think or want, we'll probably be all right. It's no secret what God can do. But how real is it in our lives? We all know what God can do. But is that entwined in our thinking and in our mind and in our way we live, in our culture? We need it more and more. I don't know where this will go this morning, but I think I got a word. So we'll see how that happens. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. They're all yes and amen. We believe that what your word says, but sometimes we need help with our unbelief because we're human. But today I want to focus on some of the great things that you did, some of the great people that you influenced, and how faith made such a difference in their lives. And we want it to be make a difference in our lives also. Not only are we living before a bunch of people, but a bunch of people are watching us. They're wondering what we're going to say, what we're going to do, and how we're going to handle the situations that come into our lives. And Father, we just need your direction and guidance. We need your Holy Spirit to guide us in everything that we do, every word that we say. And we thank you for that promise today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With his arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. We find in the scriptures there's a lot of scriptures about faith. Now, if you open the Bible and you go looking for a scripture that's got faith mentioned in it somewhere, you're going to find thousands. But I want to focus on just a few this morning. That while the power was out, we were 9 days with no power, and we only got our phones back this past Friday night. So I don't know how many days that was, but 9 plus whatever it was after the power come on. But anyway, it was quiet at my house. But I had a little generator, and I had a lamp where I sit in my recliner, and I turn that lamp on, and I could see. And I said, there's a Bible that I got for Christmas 2 or 3 years ago, and I never had really opened it much. It's a different version. I like the one I use all the time because it's just where I wrote, underlined, and it's just familiar. Everybody has a Bible that they like better than the others probably, but you got several. But I had one I never read very much. But it's been laying over there at my close to where I sit down. And I started reading that Bible, and it's a little bit different version. It's not what I prefer, but it's a little bit different, but it explains things a little bit. But I knew some of the stories already, but it just kind of added a few things to it. Make a long story short, I read about first 5 books of the Old Testament, just line by line. And you know, some of that reading is not a lot of, when it goes into the lineage of all the people, you can't understand the words, you can't pronounce them. And some of that I kind of skimmed through, but some of the stories in there. But it was about the law, about how God set up a law for his people to live by. And I'm glad we're not under that law. Aren't you? If you've read that, I don't know how anybody could have ever lived up to it. I mean, if you're human, you could not live and do enough to be justified under the law. So they had to have somebody to be their high priest. And, of course, in the New Testament, we know who that is. And we got a mediator between us and God. And so I'm not going to go there this morning, but you know who that is. And I'm glad I got a mediator this morning that I can approach the throne of grace and pray and ask God for something. And there's somebody on that's going to say, that's one of mine. He belongs to me. And that I believe by faith, I believe that's the way it is. I believe that I'm part of God's family. I believe that I'm one of his children. And I hope you believe that too. But as we, now I know that my dad was Lester Carl Couch. There's no doubt about that. I favor him. I look more like him as I get older, I think, in pictures. But anybody could ask me, who's your father, who my earthly dad is, I'd say I know who he is. There's not a doubt in my mind. Now, there's maybe not more faith involved in that, but you couldn't convince me anything different. But why is it when God does things, somebody can come along and convince us different? What is it about us that makes us shy away from our faith so quickly and so easily? Faith is when you don't see any results, maybe. And we got that going on in our friendships of family around Lewis County right now, where you can't see results. People are sick and they're not being healed. There's all things happening to good people that we don't understand. But we need to look through that and remember and be faithful. That's the hard part. But there was a few people that could do that in the Old Testament. And they could look past that. But I want to look into a faith this morning that's enjoined faith. Now, how could we enjoin the scriptures and the what the Bible says and God's word into our daily life to where the things that happen in this world won't be so great and so tragic in our life? And I hope that nothing happens to any of us, anything tragic happens, but life is life, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know. And just because we're one of God's children, that doesn't shelter us from living in this old world. The bad things happen. I've been fortunate that my children, I've never lost a... I've got two children, and they're alive and well and doing fine, and I've got grandchildren. And we did have a grandchild that was stillborn or born too soon and that we lost, but that's not uncommon. Other people have been there too. But I remember how the baby's mother, my daughter, I remember how she kind of went into a shell. She's a quiet person anyway, but she kind of went into a shell. And dealing with that, and we prayed, and we didn't get the answer we wanted. And a lot of us have been there, but we come out of that, and we live through it. And I just believe that there'll be some day where we'll see that little boy again. I think my daughter will get to hold that baby again. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that will happen. But there's going to be a completeness of our faith when we get there. Amen. Things are going to be complete. And all the answers that we have in this life are going to be answered. All the questions, I mean, are going to be answered. That'll be a good thing, won't it? That's part of my belief. I believe that. I know a lot of things are going to be erased from my memory. Bad things that's on its earth. But how our faith helps us, help that to dissolve away a lot of disappointments. And just, Lord, I don't understand why this happened to me or happened to one of my good friends or whoever. I don't know why this had to happen. I'm going to leave it in your hands because you know more than I do. You know the end from the beginning, and it might be your master plan, and I don't want to mess up none of your master plans. I'm going to just say it, Lord, you know what's best. I don't understand it, and I don't feel it, but I'm going to just stand on that right there. There was a man called Abraham that said, whatever God tells me, I'm going to believe. And you know the story of Abraham. I'm not going to go there and go through the whole thing. I don't have enough time. But Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him to be righteous. He was righteous in God's sight because he just believed what he said. Boy, I wish we had some of that. I wish we could just believe what God says and leave it at that and not question him. You know, when you have children, grandchildren, they want something, you say, no, well, you can't have it. And then they say, well, why can't I have it? And then you don't have time to explain why you don't want them to have it. You're not being mean to them, but kids don't need everything they want. Just look at our world situation that we're in, and we got a generations of kids that's never had no said to them and never had any instruction. And they have a hard time in life sometimes. It's good to hear no. Maybe that's why God don't give us everything we ask for. He knows it's not good for us. But let's go here. Let's read a scripture here that says, Moses said unto the people. Now, Moses was a chosen vessel, like Abraham, like Noah, like a lot of people in the Old Testament. And this is fresh on my mind, but I was thinking how Moses got a word from God, and he believed, he just took it like it was. I've never heard an audible voice from heaven. God's never spoken to me that way, and I'd tremble if he ever did, I suppose. I don't know what I'd do, but it would be awesome, I can tell you that much. But he heard God's voice, and he told him to do something, and he set about doing it. But he was the mediator between God's people and God. God wouldn't talking to the whole Israelite nation, but he singled out Moses and said, go tell Pharaoh to turn my people loose, and they go through all that rendition of how that exchange went back and forth and all the things that happened to the people. And Moses said, when they was led out of bondage and they got to the Red Sea, they had already seen all kinds of miraculous things happen to the Egyptians. Plagues and all kinds of things happening all around. And it wasn't very long till they were hemmed up. And they had a cloud during the daytime to keep them cool. They had a pillar of fire at night to keep them warm. And they were being led. Clearly God was doing something miraculous. But they get to the seashore and they start complaining and looking. They see the enemy back there coming and they say, he's brought us out here to be killed right here. We should have just stayed in Egypt. And I've seen some Christians that almost make that same thing. When something bad happens or things start going haywire in their life, I'm going to quit. I'm going to just give up and quit. It ain't working. It just ain't working. After God's done wonderful things. And then they, of course, you know the story how Moses just got up on this pinnacle there and he said, and had to be God's voice through Moses what he said. We need to listen to this. It says, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Wouldn't it be great if we could just stand still, listen to the voice of God, listen to what he said, remember how he's done saved us, ain't nobody in this room fit for the kingdom of God outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're human. We're just worthless, totally worthless. Human beings are just worthless creatures. But when they become Christians, they become something royal at that time. When they accept Jesus Christ, it changes things. You become part of something great, part of something awesome. You're God's family, and you're representing his great salvation and his great grace and mercy that he's shown to us. Some of the greatest men of God and women of God are the ones that's had the most trouble, had been to the lowest point, what we would consider a low point. Maybe a homeless situation, maybe on drugs, maybe whatever. And that's got a lot of focus today, but, you know, there's a lot of things worse than being on drugs. People say, well, I've never been on drugs, like it's something to brag about. I'm thankful that I never did any drugs, but I'm just as sorry and low down and mean and conniving and worthless to the kingdom of God as anybody else would have been had they been on substance abuse or whatever. I don't know how I missed all that, but in the 70s it was going pretty good about 68 or 69, and I was grown working in Nashville. I remember things have changed a whole lot. My supervisors were Korean veterans. Most of the time, those older guys, Korean or World War II veterans, and they were, I was talking to Brother Mike about that, and you know, we let our hair get a little bit long, and some of them old supervisors said, boy, you need a haircut. And if you applied for a job back in those days, if you had long hair down on your ears, you might as well be looking somewhere else for work. I'll tell you, that's the way it was. They meant well, I guess, but that was part of the disciplinary thing that the military had, they were all military, and they took that military to those factories. That's why our industry in this country was so great right after or during the war, right about time after World War II, the greatest. We were better than anybody in the world, industry-wise. We could take a factory that's making pickup trucks and start producing Jeeps and airplanes or whatever. It was because of that discipline and that work ethic. The women were working in that factory also. But you see these old pictures of all these people. They're all, it took thousands of people back then. We didn't have computers and all that, but it's just a great thing that was happening. But things have really changed. But God's word has stayed the same all through these times. And Moses was that spokesman that told his people, don't forget what God has done. And in Deuteronomy it says, when you go out to battle against thine enemies, and you see horses and chariots and a people more than you, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Let me remind you, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Remember, just because you see adversity out there, you don't turn around and run from it. And he was telling the armies before they go to battle. And you know, in the Old Testament, you've read that, how many different battles that people were called out to go to. And when they start looking across the Jordan, the river there to see the promised land over there on the other side. And he told them, he said, I've promised you this land and I want you to go take it. But you know, the spies that came back, how many of them saw the Philistine giants over there, and they said, they got giants over there. They said, they got walled cities over there. They got more horses and they got more chariots. And they got those things over there. And there's more than there is of us. And we're talking ourselves out of our faith right here, you know. We see the same things. We're not called to go to battle over here to take some country or take some land that God's promised us, except our neighborhood. I think He's promised us that. That'll be another lesson some other time. But they see this, you see things. You walk in the hospital, and I've been there. I walked through that little unit back there where all them sick babies are. And if you're not thankful for your healthy children, you need to walk through there once in a while. All them little babies are struggling to live. Tubes and wires and nurses just working on them 24/7. Got somebody right there every second. This is the worst of the worst. I remember when Greer was born, she weighed 2 pounds and 4 ounces, I think. She was about that long. Her daddy, Trent's wedding band, they took a picture, laid that wedding band beside that baby, and it looked like you could have slid that up on her legs and up on her arm. She was that small. It's unbelievable. They told us, said, she's going to be fine, but she's going to have to grow some more. See, she was born so early that she had to be in that NICU unit, or whatever we call it, NICU unit. But she had to be in there 3 months before she would be a regular term baby. But during that time, we got to meet her nurse that was there with her most of the time, and we still keep up with her and see her once in a while. But her nurse that was in charge of her more than any of the rest of them, we got to be good friends with them. But how we wanted to pray, and boy, that'll make you pray. I'm telling you. If you get serious about prayer when something like that, but we don't need to take that for granted when we got healthy people in our family, healthy. And it can take your faith away if you're not careful. Doctors, we got the greatest technology in this country. We got the greatest doctors. We got hospitals. We got equipment. We got research, technology. But sometimes they seem like, you got to watch, it'll drain your faith. They'll say, this is what's going to happen. This is this, and this is that, and the scientific side of it. And once in a while, God proves them different. And I still leave God's got an option there on our behalf. He's got an option to come out big and strong. And Joshua said in 1 and 9, it says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. And be strong. Don't let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro in the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. We know what the Scripture says, but it's easy for our heart not to be perfect toward Him. God wants us to be faithful, to speak faith and act like it's faith, and make sure it is faith to the point where we believe it and everybody around us can see it in our life, and not take the bad news first. Not take the disappointing things, but leave God room to work. It says the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. I'm going to tell you something. There was a man called Job. I'm not going to go there and read that story, but there's a few things that I remember what he said during that story. And I wish I could pick up on some of that. Job had a lot of things happen to him. You've heard the story. And God allowed it to happen. Said, God, I love you, but I hope you I hope you don't let things pour out on me like it did him. But you know what Job said? He said, I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to believe you, God. Even if you smite me down right now and kill me, I'm not going to turn my back on your word and what you said. Now, though thou slay me, I'm going to still trust in you. Even though I know you can do it, you can speak your word right now and take me out, but I'm going to trust you anyway. I see what's happened. I know what's happened to me, and it's hurt. I'm disappointed. I'm crushed on the inside. My heart is broken. I've lost my family. I've lost my possessions. Everything that I have is gone, and my health is gone. I've got sores all over my body, and I'm sitting here just scraping the sores. But I'm not changing my mind about our relationship. I'm not changing my mind about what you said. I'm still trusting you. Of course, we know the story that it was all restored back to him. Don't be dismayed. The king of Assyria, don't be dismayed for all of that multitude that's with the king of Assyria. There be more than us, more of us than is with him. With him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God. We can believe in the arm of flesh, or we can get so discouraged in the arm of flesh when it don't go our way. But remember, we belong to the Almighty, and he is the Lord our God, and he will help us, and he will fight our battles. I think sometimes if we would keep our mouth shut and let him fight our battles, we might be better off. Don't you agree? Have you ever said things in your mind and not audible voice, but you're chewing on it. You're chewing on bad news. They say, well, they say they're not going to make it much longer. They say this or that or whatever. We've got some problems here and probably won't live through the surgery. We get to hearing those things and then we get to chewing on that. We don't say it out loud, but we're starting to doubt. We're starting to, I don't know. And doubt starts creeping in. A little bit here, a little bit there. That starts eroding away what we know. The story of the mustard seed. Let me pass this along to you before I run out of time. The mustard seed in those days, I assume, was big enough for a bird to build in the branches. So it's not like a little mustard clump of mustard that we grow in a raised bed, put in our salad. But it produces fruit, produces seeds. But the seeds are very small. You know the story. Why did he use something like that as an illustration of faith? Well, I planted some bamboo down there on the farm around the river because the river's washing the bank away. The beavers have gnawed on all the big timber on Buffalo, and now the old trees are falling and the bank is eroding away, and every time the river gets up big, it spreads out more and more and does more damage. And I'm thinking that the river channel is wanting to move over in one of the fields down there, and I don't want that to happen. But I've lost about probably a half acre of ground to the river out there on one corner where it turns. So I planted some bamboo down there, and everybody's telling me, you're making a big mistake. So you won't never get rid of that stuff. Well, where I'm putting it, I don't want it to ever move. Now, it will. I know it's invasive. But I've been told that the mustard plant was invasive also. I Why did he not elaborate on that when he was teaching that parable? I believe it's because the people that he was listening to his voice already knew what the mustard plant was. He didn't have to explain a whole lot about it, but it seemed like we need to hear it more. It's invasive. An invasive plant is one that, when you plant it in the ground, we ought to be invasive, I'm telling you. Our faith ought to be invasive. Because once it's established in the ground, you can't hardly get rid of it. Y'all don't look excited as I am about that. My faith needs to be an invasive faith. It's done established. We've been a Christian 30 years. My faith is established. You're not going to talk me out of it. And ain't nothing else going, ain't no thorns going to grow up in amongst it. I went up, and it'll grow wherever you put it. You can find bamboo in the lowlands, good bottom, rich land. You can find it on a hilltop where nothing will grow hardly. And I went up there to get some of these sprouts. And a dozer had come through there and put a road in, and it kind of went through the middle of this big bamboo patch or whatever, big thicket. I looked out in there, and it is amazing. There's shoots coming out of the ground. Of course, you know how you plant the roots. Just put a chop you off a piece of the root, stick it in the ground, and it'll go from there. In the first year or two, you don't think you got nothing. Young Christians, they don't realize what they got. It hadn't been growing long enough. But the longer seasons come and go, but the longer it stays in the ground, it's not dying out. It's just going horizontal. Our faith is growing. Invasive faith will keep growing. You may not see a harvest right away. You may not see those shoots coming up. But one day you're going to go down there. You planted it over here, and some of it's coming up over here. It's almost like trying to get rid of a fire ant. You put poison on the mound, and come back 3 or 4 weeks later, that mound is gone. There's another one starting over here. You got to put some poison on it. I thought that was pretty interesting. Young Christians don't know that. They hadn't been established long enough to know that their faith is growing. And when hard times come their way, they're going to reach back and say, "Oh, I remember what Jesus said. I got that mustard seed faith. I got some of that." He said, "If you got a faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, be plucked up out of the ground and cast into the ocean, and it'll happen." It also said, just believe God. Just believe what he says. I want to have some of that invasive faith. The kind that's built into my thinking, it's built into my lifestyle, and I'm not going to give it up really easily. Oh, me. Psalms 37:3, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily you'll be fed. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord." That's one thing. That's one thing as a Christian. There is something built into your faith if you've got it. If you've been a Christian very long, you're going to know what I'm talking about. That even though things are coming apart all around you, there's a certain peace and a rest that comes into your spirit. You may have a lot of questions on your mind and things that you wonder about, but there's just something about the rest or the peace that God gives us. Do you remember when you were under conviction and you were miserable? You knew that God had more for you than you've been accepting? Or maybe you've never made a commitment to him to live for him? You need to make that commitment before you leave this earth, for sure, but the sooner you can do it, the more peace that you're going to have the peace of God coming into your heart. Even though you don't have a big bank account, I'm not rich, I have peace, happiness and peace. A peace of mind is worth more than money can buy. You know, there's people that have all kinds of money and fame and fortune and go out and commit suicide. Why can they not be happy? They can buy anything in the world they want. They don't have to want for anything. They can spend the winters in Jamaica or where it's warm, or South Florida or wherever. You better go South Florida nowadays. It's cold at Daytona, but you better get on down south if it's going to stay warm. But they got the option to do anything. Go anywhere in the world they want to go. Go whenever they want to. Stay as long as they want to. And they got the money to buy whatever they need. And first thing you know, you see it on the news. Somebody's done. They're gone. They took their own life. My goodness. All we need is the kind of faith that God's offering us every day. Just believe what I'm telling you. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because I sent Him to buy this for you. It's paid for. I sent Him here for that reason. Don't ask me to explain the Godhead. I don't worry about those things. I'm going to let some things, it belongs to God. All I know is I accepted Him one day. I knew I was sinful, and I needed forgiveness, and I needed Him to help me straighten my life out. He graciously offered that to me. I got up from the altar, and I felt like I was a different creature, and I was. And I failed Him many times along the way. I have failed, but I get back up, and I've learned lessons along the way. You know, how many times do you have to tell a little child, no, don't touch that stove, it's hot? Every child has to learn that, don't they? They don't believe you when you tell them, that stove is hot, don't touch it. And we grew up in a house where the old stove was sitting over there, and it's probably cherry red sometimes, just as hot as it could be. We grew up around that, and we survived. But we didn't have to be told 3 or 4 times, don't touch it. Boy, if we'd listen to the Lord and not have to learn those lessons, wouldn't it be better? Oh, me. I don't know what time I've got left, but I'm about done. Jesus was teaching, and we're getting close to that on Wednesday night. Brother Bill's talking about the Beatitudes, and he's going to stay in there for a pretty good while. But in the 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus was gathering up people there, and He was teaching people. And He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. He's talking to His disciples, and He's fixing to give us this rendition of what to have faith in what He's saying, to have faith in His word. He said, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And said, which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I saw buttercups blooming yesterday. It hadn't been no time till there was ice on the ground. But those buttercups are already blooming all around a lot of places. And if you want to know where somebody used to live, just walk through the woods and you'll see buttercups. And most likely that was an old home place at some point. I'm going to tell you, those buttercups, they're almost like bamboo. You plant them things and they're there. They'll come back every spring, no matter what. But that's so pretty to see them early in the spring, some of the first ones that comes up. How God has made all these things, how they do. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like some of those, the lilies of the field. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He called it little faith. Do you have a little faith? Or is your faith going to be an invasive faith? And I know things in life shape us to where we are today. Situations in life change all through our lifetime. And it makes us who we are today. Some of the worst things I thought was happening to me turned out, looking back on it, turned out to be a good thing. But at the time, it felt awful. It's maybe like when Daddy got a hold of us once in a while and he said, "Boys, I told you not to do that." He never did beat me like he needed to. He should have whooped me every week, but he didn't. I deserved a lot more than I got, but I'm glad that he straightened me out a little bit. He said, I don't want you boys to wind up in a penitentiary. Come here." That's the way it was. And we knew we were guilty. And I'm glad the Lord has been so good to me. Even though sometimes I was chastised a little bit, but it didn't do me no harm. It made me respect something. The kind of faith I'm supposed to have. I'm not going to talk. Oh, help me, Lord. Not talk my way out of it. Just believe what he says. And let it be so invasive that it's growing all the time. You know, you don't see that root system under there. But what I remember most about that whole bamboo thing that I walked through, I'm going to quit on this, is I looked in there and I could see in that thicket. It was so thick in there I couldn't hardly see through it. I opened it up and kind of looked in there, and you know what I saw? Nothing but bamboo. There was not any other plant growing in there with that. And I said, man, if my faith gets so invasive to where it invases into my being to where I don't doubt, there will not be any doubt left in there. But you don't see the root system. But the effects of it are there. And I watched it. I planted in different places. This was on a hillside, poor ground. This is where my dad would plant peas. You got to plant them on poor ground or they'll all go to vine. Some of y'all folks don't know stuff like that. But you plant peas on poor ground. That's so poor up there on that hill. But I planted some down there next to the river where the bottom land is, where you walk through there and you can feel the ground. It's soft underneath. Sandy, loamy soil. It's rich. River gets up and settles on it. Rich ground. Last spring I went through there and there were shoots that big around that was coming up. Just popping up over there. 10 or 15 feet over there. It's not thick yet. You don't see it yet. But it's down there. It is there. And when the storm comes, storms of life come, you may not realize it, but you're stronger than you think you are. And you can stand more than you think you can. Because you're going to rise up because that faith is growing under there. Faith is something you can't see. You know that? In Hebrews it says it's something unseen. But you know it's real. Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, give us a faith that's evasive, invasive, that'll grow in hard ground, grow in soft ground. Whatever's happening above us, it doesn't matter. Our faith is instilled in us, and it's growing out of sight, but it's getting stronger every day, and it's weeding out things that was going to grow in there that's not supposed to be there, but our faith keeps it from growing. Our faith is invasive enough that we believe your word. Give us your word. Father, thank you for your word today. I'm thankful that I know that you're in charge. You're in control. I can cast all my burdens upon you. and you care for me and you love me like nobody else can do. You love our family, you love our community and our church. Bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.